The title of the sermon is A Savior is Born.
今天我们讲到的主题是救主降生。
And so today we celebrate the birth of Christ.
所以今天我们一起来庆祝基督的诞生。
I love seeing all the new babies in the church.
我很高兴看到教会里有很多新生的小孩。
For my own story, there are certain details that are a part of our birth.
对于我来说，孩子的出生总是带有很多的细节。
And so there's certain things that we learn from looking at our own birth. For myself, I was a heavy baby.
比如说对我来说，我出生的时候我就是一个很重的小孩。
I was 10 pounds, 3 ounces.
我生下来有10磅3盎司。
But my mom said I was the quickest one to come out.
我妈妈说我生的是最快的。
And so there are certain details, like you knowing that, now you can see me in a certain light.
所以这些细节你也可以在我身上看到。
As we look at the birth of Jesus, I want us to notice the details that surround his birth.
当我们来看耶稣降生的时候，这其中也有很多的细节。
And one thing that's important is that Jesus is born at the right time.
很重要的一点是耶稣出生在一个对的时间。
We see that when a baby is born prematurely, sometimes there could be complications. And when a baby is born too late, there can also be complications.
如果我们看到一个孩子早产或者生的太晚，都会遇到各种各样的问题。
What we see about Jesus is that he was born at the right time in history.
但我们看到耶稣的出生是在一个非常完美的历史时间点上。
In Galatians 4 verse 4 it says, But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject under the law.
加拉太书4章4节说，及至时候满足，神就差遣他的儿子为女子所生，且生在律法以下。
And so what we see from this verse is that the Father sends his son into the world at the perfect moment in history.
所以这节经文告诉我们，天父差遣他的儿子来到这个世界上，这是在历史上非常完美的一个时刻。
And so God's timing is always perfect, and so we could trust that God is going to make everything beautiful in its time.
所以我们知道神定的时间总是完美的，他会在一个恰当的时候把一切都变得美好。
We see in verse 1 that Caesar Augustus sends out a decree that all the world should be registered.
在今天路加福音2章1节，我们看到凯撒奥古斯都有旨意下来，叫天下的人民都报名上册。
And so this man was born with the name Gaius Octavian.
所以这个皇帝叫做盖乌斯乌大维。
Historians tell us that his great uncle was Julius Caesar, and that Julius eventually adopted him as his son.
所以历史学家告诉我们说，这个乌大维，裘利斯凯撒是乌大维的舅公，并且凯撒收养了他作为养子。
And so Octavian would make a name for himself and he would continue to rise to power until he became the sole ruler of the Roman Empire.
所以乌大维后来会建功立业，大权独揽，一直到他最后成为了罗马帝国实际上唯一的元首。
He was the first Caesar to be called Augustus.
他是第一个拥有奥古斯都称号的凯撒。
And so Caesar is a title. It's like when we use the word king or emperor.
其实凯撒也是一个名号，它是用来放在这个帝国的帝王的名字前面。
And Augustus is a word that's used to describe somebody.
奥古斯都也是这样一个形容词。
It means revered or holy or exalted.
它的意思就是神圣至尊的意思。
And so this man wanted to take a term that was used exclusively for the gods and apply it to himself.
所以我们看到乌大维是企图将一个专门用来形容神的词语用在他自己的头上。
And so he laid much of the groundwork for the Caesars being made into gods.
所以他为凯撒被捧上神坛奠定了一定的基础。
And so many people would render their worship to Caesar throughout the Roman Empire.
我们看到罗马帝国从始至终很多人都有这样的凯撒崇拜。
There's even an inscription from one ancient city that calls him the savior of the whole world.
在 一个古代罗马城市出土的碑文里面，我们甚至看到他称这个凯撒是世界的救主。
And so what we see is that people in this day were hungry for a savior. And today is no exception.
所以我们发现那个时候的人们其实非常渴望迎来一位救主。今天的人们也不例外。
And so what Luke is doing here is he's contrasting the false savior Caesar Augustus with the true savior Jesus Christ.
所以我们看到作者路加在这里提供了一组对比，他拿虚假的一个救主跟一个真正的救主来对比。
In Caesar, we see a man who holds tightly to his throne and seeks to become a god.
我们看到凯撒身上，我们从他身上看到的是一个人紧紧抓住权力不放，企图把自己从人变成神。
And in Jesus, we see that God left his throne and became a man.
而耶稣是神，我们看到的是神舍弃了他在天上的宝座，降世为人。
And so Jesus comes to earth, fully God, fully man, the Savior of the world, the true Savior of the world.
所以耶稣来到世上，他是全然的神，他也全然是人，他是这个世界真正的救主。
And so at this moment in history, Caesar is ruling over the whole Roman Empire.
我们看到这个时候，凯撒的权力覆盖了整个罗马帝国。
He's able to send out a decree and everyone has to obey or else suffer the consequences.
他有权力颁布一道旨意，让每个人都去遵行，否则你就要以身试法。
And so it looks like Caesar has complete power.
我们看到凯撒拥有一种绝对的权力。
But little does he know that God is the one who has complete sovereignty over the kingdoms of the world.
但他不知道的是在天下的万国之上有这么一位上帝，他才是拥有绝对主权的那一位。
Psalm 115 verse 3 says, But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases.
诗篇115章3节说，然而我们的神在天上都随自己的意志行事。
And so this means that God is in complete control no matter what happens in our world.
这意味着无论世界上发生什么，一切都在完全在上帝的掌握之中。
It's important that we remember that as we go about our lives.
当我们去过自己的生活的时候，我们需要提醒自己这一点。
If we allow ourselves to be ruled by fear, what happens is that our God becomes small and our problems become big.
当我们被恐惧所辖制的时候，这个时候我们就是把我们自己的问题看得很大，把上帝看得很小。
And so when we have a proper view of God's sovereignty, we allow ourselves to see our situations in light of who God is.
所以当我们对上帝的主权有真正的、有正确的认识的时候，我们也能正确的认识我们生活的处境。
As we face trials and fears, we've got to remind ourselves that Jesus is bigger than anything we could face in this life.
当我们面对各样的试炼和恐惧的时候，我们必须提醒自己，耶稣已经胜过这一切。
I want you to see as Caesar sends out this decree for all the world to be registered, God is sovereignly working to get Mary and Joseph to where they need to be.
在这里我们看到凯撒颁下了一道旨意，但是上帝的主权正在做工，正在借着这件事情做工，把约瑟和玛利亚带到他们需要去的地方。
Proverbs 21 verse 1 says, The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes.
箴言书21章1节说，王的心在耶和华手中，好像垄沟的水随意流转。
And so not only do we see that Jesus was born at the perfect time, but we also see that Jesus was born in the perfect place.
所以在这里我们看到耶稣不光是在完美的时间，也是在完美的地点出生。
What do I mean that Jesus was born in the perfect place?
耶稣在完美的地点出生是什么意思呢？
Not only was the birth of Jesus foretold, but the details surrounding his birth were also foretold as well.
所以旧约的预言不仅预告了耶稣的诞生，就连他诞生的地方这类的细节也早有预言。
And so the Bible is filled with specific prophecies.And many are concerning the first and second coming of Jesus Christ.
所以圣经里有许多非常非常多这样具体的预言，其中很多是关于耶稣第一次的到来或者第二次再来。
And so more than a quarter of the Bible was prophetic at the time it was written.
当圣经写下的时候，每四节经文就有一节是预言性质的。
And so prophecy is God's ability to tell us future events before they happen.
所以预言显示了神的能力，他可以预言还没有发生的事情。
There was a prophecy given in Micah 5 verse 2 that foretold where the Messiah was to be born.
在弥迦书五章二节，他就预言了救世主弥赛亚所要诞生的地点。
And so we see from Matthew 1 that it was common knowledge that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem.
所以我们在马太福音一章就看到救世主那时候人都知道救世主弥赛亚要降生在伯利恒。
And this prophecy that Micah gave was 700 years before Christ came.
而弥迦书关于救主在伯利恒诞生的预言其实早于耶稣诞生700年。
And so we see here that Joseph was from Bethlehem, and so he had to go from Galilee back to Bethlehem to be registered.
我们看到耶稣的父亲约瑟其实老家是在伯利恒，所以他必须从加利利回到伯利恒去报名上册。
At the time, it might have seemed like an inconvenience to the family, but God was actually working to get them to where they needed to be.
其实这趟旅程一定有很多的不方便，但是我们看到上帝在做他奇妙的工作，把这家人带到伯利恒去。
This was not going to be an easy journey for Mary and Joseph.
这一路对于约瑟和玛利亚来说一定很不容易。
Mary was nearing the time of birth, and so you can imagine the discomfort traveling to a far place.
我们知道玛利亚的产期已经近了，所以她带着身孕这样长途的旅行，我们可以想象是多么的困难。
How far do you think they traveled?
你觉得他们走了多少路呢？
80 to 90 miles.
他们走了大概八九十英里的路。
From Galilee to Bethlehem.
从加利利走到伯利恒。
So remember, they didn't have cars.
你要记住当时并没有汽车。
So you're either traveling on animal or by foot.
所以你要么骑着一些牲畜或者就是徒步。
Some of you ladies who have been pregnant know that's a tough task.
如果有些女士曾经怀过孕，你就知道这是多么艰难的一个任务。
Think about Mary for a moment.
我们再来想一想玛利亚。
She would set out on this journey knowing that she would probably give birth far from family when the time came.
当她出发走上这段行程的时候，她应该很清楚自己要在远离自己的家和家人的地方产下这个婴儿。
And she was probably just a young teenager at this point.
当时她可能也就不过十几岁。
So imagine that, Mary, she's going to travel 80 to 90 miles with the Messiah in her womb, knowing it's going to be a long journey. Imagine the pain that she's feeling, knowing that she'll be separated from her family.
所以我们想象一下玛利亚怀着身孕肚子里怀着弥赛亚还要走上八九十英里的路，他真是承担着多么大的压力和责任。
But again, God is at work behind the scenes, and he's going before the family to lead them back to Bethlehem.
但是我们看到上帝才是在幕后做工的那一位，他带领这个家庭去到该去的地方。
And so notice verse 6 with me. It says that while they were there, the time came for her to give birth.
所以路加福音二章六节说他们在那里的时候玛利亚的产期到了。
And so another prophecy is fulfilled.
所以另一个预言也实现了。
We see this quote in the book of Matthew. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet.
马太福音一章二十二节这样说，这一切的事成就是要应验主借着先知所说的话。
Look at verse 7 with me.
我们一起来看路加福音二章七节。
We see that Jesus was born in the best way.
我们看到耶稣以最好的方式而降生。
It says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
第七节说，就生了头胎的儿子，用布包起来，放在马槽里，因为客店里没有地方。
And so I want you to see the way that Jesus enters our world.
所以请注意耶稣来到这个世界的方式。
He came in obscurity, he came humbly.
他在黑暗中降生，他以一个卑微的样式来到。
He could have come any way he wanted, but he chose to come simply.
他可以随便用什么样的方式来到，但是他选择了这样一种简单的方式降生。
It says here that there was no room for them in the inn.
经文说，在客店里没有地方。
And so Jesus probably was born in the courtyard where the travelers kept their animals.
所以很有可能耶稣就降生在这个客店的院子里面，是旅客们停放牲畜马匹的地方。
If you've ever been to the zoo, you know how much animals can stink.
如果你去过动物园，你一定知道这个动物的味道有多么的臭。
And so think of the Son of God being born among the animals.
但是你能想象上帝的独生子出生在这些牲畜的中间吗？
He's born into a place that's stinky and dirty.
他出生在一个又脏又臭的地方。
There was no crib for baby Jesus, only a manger, only a feeding trough.
所以耶稣出生的时候都甚至没有一个婴儿床为他准备，他出生的地方只不过是一个马槽，一个牲畜喂食的地方。
And so it's one thing to be born into poverty, but it's another thing to willingly choose to come and be born into poverty.
所以出生穷苦是一回事，自己选择出生穷苦其实另一回事。
Why did Jesus choose to come this way?
为什么耶稣选择了这样一种方式来到呢？
Jesus chose to come this way to identify with the poor, the needy, and the outcasts of society.
耶稣这样选择是要将自己与贫穷的人、与困苦的人、与被社会所抛弃的人归为同类。
He chose to be born into a poor family.
他选择出生在一个贫寒的家庭。
How do we know his family was poor?
我们怎么知道这个家庭比较贫穷呢？
If you look at verses 22 through 24 of this chapter, we see Mary and Joseph, they followed the command that was found in the book of Leviticus.
在下面的经文，路加福音二章二十二到二十四节，我们看到玛利亚和约翰遵照律法书利未记的这个吩咐来献祭。
Leviticus 12 speaks about the law that was required for a woman when you brought forth a child.
在利未记十二章，我们看到一个女人生产以后，她需要献上一个祭物。
You would bring a lamb for a burnt offering and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering.
他需要把一个一岁的羊羔献为燔祭，或者是一只雏鸽，或是一只斑鸠献为赎罪祭。
But notice what it says in Leviticus 12 verse 8.
在利未记十二章八节这样说。
It says, and if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering.
她的力量若不够献一只羊羔，她就要取两只斑鸠或两只雏鸽，一只为燔祭，一只为赎罪祭。祭司要为她赎罪，她就洁净了。
And so what we see in Luke 2 verse 24 is that Mary brings a poor person's sacrifice.
而在路加福音二章二十四节，我们看到玛利亚所献的祭是一对斑鸠或是两只雏鸽，这是穷人的献祭。
And so Mary and Joseph couldn't afford to bring a lamb, and so they brought the sacrifice that they were able to bring.
这就意味着约瑟和玛利亚的财力不足以献上一只羊羔，所以他们作为替代，他们献上了一对斑鸠或是一对雏鸽。
And so what we see in the birth, in the life, and the death of Jesus is that God chooses to enter uncomfortable spaces.
在耶稣的诞生，他的一生，直到他的死，我们都看到上帝很多时候是自愿走进一个不舒适的一个境地。
Jesus willingly chose to lay aside the riches and the glory of heaven.
耶稣是自愿选择放弃了天上的尊贵和荣耀。
He chose to leave his throne above and enter our broken world.
他自己自愿选择离开了天上的宝座，来进入这个破碎的世界。
Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9.
保罗在哥林多后书八章九节这样说。
He says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich.
你们知道我们主耶稣基督的恩典，他本来富足，却为你们成了贫穷，叫你们因他的贫穷可以成为富足。
And so Jesus chose to come the way he did so that you and I might be made rich.
所以耶稣选择以这样的方式来到是为了让我们成为富足。
I'm not talking about money.
我不是在谈钱的事情。
I'm talking about eternal riches with God.
我谈的是在永生里面你在上帝面前的富足。
I'm talking about your sins being forgiven.
我谈论的是你的罪得到了赦免。
You and I must recognize our spiritual poverty before God before we can experience the riches of His grace.
因为我必须承认我们在上帝面前我们在精神上的贫穷才能体验到他那富足的恩典。
And so this is why Jesus would say, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
这是为什么耶稣教导说虚心的人有福了因为天国是他们的。
In the kingdom of God, the way up is the way down.
而在天国里凡自高的必降为卑。
In order to enter the kingdom of God, you must humble yourself before God.
如果要进入天国你必须降卑自己。
What Jesus did physically, we're called to do spiritually.
所以耶稣用肉身去实践的这些事情我们在属灵上也要效法他。
He came humbly, he was born into poverty, but he was without sin.
他这样非常卑微的来到降生他出生在一个贫寒的家庭他活过了无罪的一生。
Just like Jesus experienced this birth, the Bible calls all people to experience the new birth.
这也是上帝给我们每一个人呼召他呼召我们每个人来经历一个重生。
Because ultimately the reason why this baby was born, the purpose, it was to die.
因为我们知道归根结底这个婴孩出生的目的就是为了替我们受死。
Jesus came to seek and save the lost.
耶稣来到是为了来寻找来拯救那些迷失的人。
It began at his birth. It began when Jesus was born, this mission.
而这样的一个使命是从他出生就已经开始的。
But he would live a perfect life and he would die the death that you and I deserve.
但是他过了无罪的一生最后替我们的罪领受了我们应得的刑罚。
Jesus came to show us that God loves us no matter how far we are from Him.
所以耶稣的降生宣告了上帝有多么的爱我们无论我们离他有多么的遥远。
I want you to hear that this morning no matter where you're at, Jesus loves you and his birth tells us that God loves us.
所以今天无论你在什么样的一个状态之中我希望你听到这个讯息就是上帝爱你。
Receive the love of Jesus for you this morning.
所以我希望你能接受耶稣给你的这份爱。
No one's ever going to love you like Jesus loves you.
永远不会有人像耶稣这样的爱你。
He's the one that our souls need.
他渴望与我们建立这样的一种关系。
He's the one that's desiring to have this relationship with us.
他希望满足我们的内心的需要。
And he's proved his love by entering our world, living a perfect life, dying the death we deserved, rising again, ascending into heaven, and just like he came the first time, he's going to come back a second time.
所以为了证明他的爱，耶稣进入了我们的世界，他活了无罪的一生，替我们应得的刑罚受死，然后复活升天，他还要第二次再来。
Some of you are here and you've never given your life to Jesus.
你们当中有些人从来没有对耶稣有过这样的委身。
We're excited you're here with us this morning.
我们真的非常高兴今天早上你在这里。
I don't want you to put off this decision to follow Jesus.
我不希望你来单言这样的一个决定是否要追随基督。
The Bible says that today is the day of salvation.
圣经这样说今天就是你得救的日子。
And so the most important decision that you can make today is to follow Jesus.
所以今天你能做的最重要的决定就是你要来跟随耶稣。
In verse 7, it says that there was no room for him in the inn.
在这里路加福音二章七节说客店里没有地方。
And so let me ask you this morning, is there room in your heart for Jesus?
所以让我来问你你的心里有没有地方来接纳耶稣。
For those of you who are believers,I'll ask you the same question. Is there room in your heart for Jesus?
如果你已经是 基督徒了，我也要问你同样的问题，你的心里是否真的有地方来容纳耶稣？
And you might say, of course there's room, I'm already a Christian.
你会回答说，当然了，我已经是基督徒了。
I want to read you a verse from Revelation 3 verse 20. This is Jesus speaking to the church, he's speaking to Christians.
我要读节经文，出自启示录三章二十节，这里耶稣在末世对他的教会这样讲话。
He says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me.
看哪，我站在门外叩门，若有听见我声音就开门的，我要进到他那里，我与他，他与我一同坐席。
I want you to get this picture. It's as if we're here. Most people are Christians, right? We're here. Jesus is outside the church wanting to come in.
所以请大家想象这样一个画面，我们虽然已经是基督徒，我们坐在这里，但耶稣就在门外，他叩门想要进来。
It's possible to be a Christian. It's possible to come to church. And Jesus is still outside.
所以有可能你已经是基督徒了，也有可能你已经接受了耶稣，但是耶稣很可能还在门外。
And so I pray that we would capture the awe of our God, that Jesus Christ has come, that he loves us, that we wouldn't get used to hearing that.
所以我希望我们每个人都有这样对神的这样一种敬畏，我们渴望耶稣能够进来。
I pray as Jesus exhorts the church in Revelation 3 that we would hear Jesus' voice this morning.
我祈求神，我们每一个人都能像启示录三章二十节所说的这样，我们能听到耶稣的声音为他开门。
That we would open up the door of our hearts and we would let the King of Glory come in.
我祈求我们能够打开我们的心门，迎接这样一位荣耀的君王进来。
That we would follow the admonition of the songwriter who said, "Let every heart prepare him room."
也愿我们每一个人能像一位歌词作家所写的那样，让每一颗心都为神来预留地方。
Amen.
Amen.